So having laid a foundation to say, yes, a reformation is occurring, and that this is the kind of thing God does, and there's a lot could be said about that, but I suggest another reading of chapter 1 and chapter 12 of this book to get some idea of what the Lord is saying and doing and why. I won't comment further on it in the lecture because those chapters state a case. But let me outline what the six other essential concepts of the apostolic message are. The first two of which we have already discussed in lectures. I won't need to dwell on them, but here are the six essential concepts built on that first underlying one. They are these. We'll call it number two because the fact that we're having a reformation, we're calling number one. Number two is the restoration of apostles. As you know, we've been speaking about this, and we've been saying that the church must come to understand apostolic ministry and to embrace it. The kind of reformation the Lord wants and the kind of empowered church life that the church is meant to have in the world and the kind of relationships of love that are meant to be in the church, none of this can occur unless apostles are restored and received. And for that to happen, the grace must be understood. The apostles must grow in maturity so as to be real apostles. The church must grow into maturity so as to trust and walk in relationships. But as all these things happen and apostolic authority is restored, you will find that all of the other things the Lord wants to do in the church will come to fruition. The relationships will bloom and all the rest with it. But still, the church must understand apostolic ministry and must receive her apostles. Regarding apostles, there are five things in particular the church must seek to understand. Must seek to understand the nature of the grace that's given to apostles, the place that is to be given to apostles in the church, the purpose of those apostles, the nature of an apostle, and what authority does an apostle have. Now, these things are all spelled out in the book, and not hard to read those chapters on the nature of an apostle and the authority of the apostle and so on. But still, this idea of apostles being restored is an absolutely essential concept, or the church does not have an apostolic life. That is, the relational nature of Christianity cannot be properly built and does not endure without apostles. If we go back in history, notice that while ever the apostles were alive, the original church was very relational in nature, so much so that everywhere the faith that churches had and the love that churches had was known and spoken of all over the world. Even with gritted teeth, their enemies would say, "How these Christians love each other." This is while apostolic grace was present, you had that kind of life. Notice, as apostles died out, and the grace was not understood, and it was not really replaced, the church became very institutionalized. But we are now turning that back again. But all I'm saying is, without apostles, it can't be done. And the reason for that is this. Apostles carry a certain grace which is unique. A pastor is not an apostle. A pastor has grace to offer the church in leadership. A teacher has grace to offer the church in leadership, and these graces are essential. A prophet has grace to offer, as does an evangelist. Now, but when an apostle comes along, an apostle is not just a fancy pastor or a fancy teacher. No, an apostle carries a grace. I mean, they will all be gifted. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, they will all be gifted. They can prophesy, they can heal the sick, they can teach, they can all do those kinds of things. But you bear in mind that in accordance with their anointing from the Lord Jesus, they carry certain graces. Apostles carry graces that are unique to their being appointed with authority by the Lord. One of those unique graces is the ability to build people together from the heart, that is, through love and relationships. When you remove apostolic grace, You can only build people together, you know, as teams with a common project institutionally. This is why the whole denominational era of the church has been so institutionalized, but that is specifically what is being changed now. Very important thing to understand. Apostles carry a grace and must be allowed to lead the church, give direction to the church, receive the love of the church, give their love to the church, because it brings the church to maturity in relationships. That's the whole purpose of it. And if you doubt this, I suggest you go to the New Testament scriptures, read very carefully what Jesus had to say to his apostles, and a lot of it had to do with their relationships, their attitudes to one another, how they walked together, how they served each other. And then when you get to the epistles, read Paul at length, read John at length, read anywhere you like, and you'll find with the apostles this constant emphasis on attitudes, relationships, being one, the unity of the scripture, importance of loving one another, being of one mind. This is totally the apostolic message from beginning to end, all in keeping with the command of our Lord Jesus, as I have loved you, so love one another. If an apostle doesn't carry that message, he's not carrying an apostolic message. Apostles uniquely must represent that grace, and in doing so, transform the life of the church. And so, the only other thing to say about apostles is, there is a nexus between apostles and the church, or between an apostle and a people. It's invisible, but a connection, a very, very important connection. And for an apostle to be able to do what that apostle is supposed to do or needs to do or is called to do, the church or a people must be joined with the apostle. And for a church or for God's people to be able to accomplish what they need to accomplish, an apostle must be joined in. This invisible connection is supremely important so that both sides of the equation become everything they're meant to be. This will all get clear in, you know, the coming days as all of this thing is rebuilt. Now, the third of the seven concepts is this. The restoration of the apostolic nature of the church, or, if you like, the restoration of the apostolic nature of Christianity, is what is taking place right now. So it's not only the restoration of apostles, but the restoration of the apostolic nature of Christianity itself. We've already spoken at some length concerning that, and we've spoken about how relational the church is meant to be, and that when you properly define what does it mean to be an apostolic people, it boils down to how we walk with one another, how we see each other, how we feel about each other, how together our hearts are knit, that determines whether we are or are not an apostolic people. It's not determined by whether you can heal the sick, raise the dead, how well you can preach, whether you can send missionaries. No, these are things that basically anybody can do. What determines whether or not you are apostolic in grace and nature is the way you are knit together as a people. The true apostolic nature of the church is oneness. I won't spend time on that because we've already spent time on it.